Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to The Sanctuary. That's right, episode number 5, Nerd Out Sanctuary. Here we go. It's Monday. I just got home from work, and I needed to record this. I just want to apologize to everyone that this is pretty late. I mean, to all the people who are listening and tuning in to me, I appreciate you, and I'm sorry, but these episodes take a lot of work to make, and I recorded the audio of this episode on Friday night when I got home from a movie that we will be talking about, but I recorded the entire thing, and of course, I wasn't video recording the entire time, I was just recording the audio, so doing it again, but I wasn't in the right mind. I didn't feel like redoing it over the weekend, so I just waited a little bit until I felt more inspired to do a podcast, because I don't want to be half-assing these, and that just gives me into another kind of update for the channel. I'm probably not going to be doing these on a set schedule. I'm going to be trying to do these on a weekly basis, but not strictly like, every episode is going to be airing at, you know, Monday or, you know, Sunday at 8 p.m. or whatever. It's not going to be a set time. I'm just going to be putting them out whenever I feel like and whenever I feel like doing them, which I'm going to do. Like, don't worry. These are going to keep coming. They might just come at their own pace. I mean, some episodes might be having shorter time frames between them. Some might have longer. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, it depends. It doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter to you guys, but I mean, and to me, I want to get as many episodes as I can out to you guys, but I don't want to be half-assing them. I don't want to be here just discussing some random bullshit that I kind of am forcing myself to talk about. So, I hope, you know, you keep enjoying these, and I hope you can just bear with me and just be okay with me putting these out just with on my own pace. I mean, again, not many of you are watching or listening at this point, which I mean, it makes sense because I just started this like maybe a month ago, and this is only my 5th episode, but I'm going to keep improving. I'm hopefully going to keep on putting them out. I'll get more motivated to do these a lot more. I have some ideas for future stuff I'm going to be doing. There might not strictly be Nerd Out Sanctuary episodes. They might be something a little bit different. I'm thinking my next episode might be something a little bit different, but that might take a little bit more time. So we'll see. This coming weekend, I might not have any time to do it. I might be going to Maryland and for my job. So that's kind of up in the air a little bit. So we'll see about that. I'm not drinking water or whiskey today. I'm drinking some vitamin water or some bullshit. Don't worry. For those who are listening, I'm drinking some red liquid. It's vitamin water. It's not cranberry juice. I ain't on my fucking period, guys. All right, chill the fuck out. All right? I'm not on my period. Relax. But anyway. So, yeah. Episode 5, we got a... It was kind of on the longer side when I recorded it, so I'm probably going to trim it down a little bit since I've talked about all this stuff already, like I did my 4th episode, but I thought my 4th episode turned out pretty decently, so hopefully this one will be a little bit better. I want to get into a movie that I saw this weekend on Friday night, and I really want to talk about it, but, before that, hold on, let me write something down here for a second. Okay, so before that, a trailer came out for that new Mutants movie, that X-Men movie, and I was gonna talk about that a little bit at length, but honestly, the trailer was kind of meh for me. They're clearly going for a horror movie vibe for the next X-Men installment, and I've been kind of hit or miss with the X-Men movies. I mean, I've never really gotten into the comics as much, but some of the films are really great, like X-Men First Class, that original trilogy, X-Men 1 and 2 are really good, Logan's fantastic, Days of Future Past is really good, but pretty much everything else is kind of shitty, in my opinion, and boring, and this is kind of looking a little bit on those lines, but we'll see. I mean, I could be completely wrong about that, so I probably won't go see it unless I hear good things about it. So, I mean, yeah, they're clearly going for a horror movie vibe. I'm not really familiar. It's clearly a comic book property, The New Mutants. I'm not familiar with it. You know, there's some familiar faces, that dude from Stranger Things, Anya Taylor-Joy, who's really good. She's from Split and The Witch. She's great. Maisie Williams, Arya Stark from Game of Thrones is going to be in it, so maybe that'd be good. But we'll see. Again, if I don't hear good things about it, I'm probably not going to check it out. But, you know, if I end up doing it, I'll talk about it, so we'll see. But moving on from that, I really want to talk about this film that I saw on Friday that was absolutely spectacular, and it was amazing. And it's a film called 1917. It's directed by a man named Sam Mendes, who is responsible for Skyfall and American Beauty. He's a fantastic filmmaker. He's one of those Hispanic filmmakers like Alfonso Cuarón and that other dude who did Birdman that I'm blanking on his name. But they're very into those, like, one-shot, like, really long takes. And that's, like, the really special thing about... Oh, geez, I'm sorry, I dropped my pen. That was a really special thing about this film, was that the entire film is made to seem like it was taken in one shot. Obviously, it's not, because that's just ridiculous. But they pretty much pull it off. Like, when you're watching it, you're like, yeah, this seems like one whole shot, which makes it so much more surreal and intense and visceral when shit happens. And I've always wanted to see a war movie like that. I remember talking to one of my buddies like a couple years ago, just like, I really want one of those, like, directors, like the guy who did like Children of Men and Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón, to do like some, I don't know, World War One film or Civil War movie, because I think that would be so fucking intense. And that's what happened. I mean, it wasn't Alfonso Cuarón, but it was Sam Mendes, who is a fantastic filmmaker, and he showcases that with this film. It's quite incredible. The cast is pretty insane, but I mean, again, there's really only two major guys that are kind of unknown. Dean Charles Chapman and George McKay. I'm pretty sure, yeah, Dean Charles Chapman played Tommen in Game of Thrones. I've never seen this George McKay guy anywhere, but yeah, both of them are phenomenal. Everyone else who shows up is like, oh, dude, he's in this. Those kind of like cameo type of performances are all really great. The cinematography in the film is insane. Like I said, it was taken in one whole shot. So that I'm a huge film buff, obviously, by this podcast. You know that. So I've been like slowly getting more into just the shots, and like while I'm watching a film being like, how'd you get that shot? And that happened to me pretty much constantly throughout this entire film. There's specifically one scene that's like really, you might, like, as an average moviegoer, you're like, okay, that was the scene. But there is a scene where they come to like a big pond, like a big crater that's filled with water, and they're going around, and the two main characters are going around it, but the camera goes behind them and then tracks them as they go around this crater of water, and the camera is floating over the water, the pond. And I'm just like, how'd you get that shot? Because it's perfectly level, and this pond is massive when you see it, and you're like, how? And then it meets them again when they reach the other side. It's crazy. And there's so many shots like that throughout the entire film. It's like, wow. Roger Deakins is the cinematographer, so if you're a film buff like me, you're familiar with Roger Deakins. He did the cinematography for Blade Runner 2049. He's done cinematography for so many other great films. Let me look up his filmography real quick. Of course, come on, there you go. Yes, Sicario, Prisoners, those Denis Villeneuve films, Skyfall, True Grit, Revolutionary Road. Yeah, so he's pretty good. Jarhead, The Village. I didn't know he did that. Yeah. So yeah, he's incredibly big right now. He's the high man on the totem pole when it comes to cinematographers, or the big man to get, basically. And yeah, he does a phenomenal job, as he usually does. And the film, again, I would probably compare it more so to Dunkirk than any other war film. That in, like, it shares a similar quality of being an experience. Like, it's not so much... Sorry, I sniff a lot, by the way. I'm trying not to, but it's just kind of a twitch type of thing that I do, and my nose is just constantly running, so I apologize. And throughout this episode and further podcasts, I'm really trying to work on that. But anyway, so, yeah, it's... both films are an experience rather than, you know, a typical, you know, Saving Private Ryan war film. I mean, because it's one shot, there's not many, like, for example, again, those big dramatic scenes that where actors can really show off their acting chops. It's rather just a really intense, like, can't breathe the whole film type of film. Like, throughout the movie, you're always constantly wondering, like, what's going to happen next, like Dunkirk. So, yeah, it's real special. Like, Dunkirk had that special quality, special way of telling a story with those three perspectives and those three timelines kind of interweaving with each other and intersecting at certain points. This film has that special, it's all in one take type of deal. I mean, it's obviously not one take, but there's just a multiple... tons of, well, really long takes, which makes it so special. So yeah, does 1917 have Mikey's movie magic? I forgot to say whether The King in my last episode has Mikey's movie magic. I would say that film, The King, at times does. With this one, I think it has Mikey's movie magic throughout the entire film. Go out and see it right now. It got a wide release on January 10th, so you have no excuse. I mean, I had an excuse because it wasn't playing in any theaters around me, because it technically came out last year in 2019, but it got a wide release January 10th, 2020, so I was be able to see it, so now you should be able to see it, so go see it right now because it's phenomenal, and you should see it in the movie theater before it's too late, because like Dunkirk, it's an experience, therefore it should be a theater experience. So go see it. It's spectacular. So moving on to one of our bigger main topics for this episode. I want to talk about two TV shows that I just watched the first seasons of. One kind of has a little bit more of a backlog. One has just one season out. But I'm going to talk about the one that has more of a backlog. And I started watching a show called Fargo. Fargo. Yes, that Fargo, based off of that one, well, it's not based off of, but it's in the same universe as that one Coen Brothers film of the similar title named Fargo, which takes place in nowhere, Minnesota, which is the same as the first season of this show. So, in this first season of Fargo, it's about... this insurance salesman has a run-in with some contract killer dude played by Billy Bob Thornton, who's the best part of the show, by the way. He's a scary motherfucker. Let me just tell you that right now. He's pretty fucking scary, and he's the best part. But, yeah, the insurance salesman is played by Martin Freeman. If you don't know who that is, he played Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit trilogy, and he played Sherlock in that... I'm not Sherlock. He played Watson in that Sherlock BBC show with Benedict Cumberbun or Cumberbatch. Come on, my buns. Oh, Jesus Christ. This is, fuck. I'm sorry. Like, this is what you get. This is what you're going to get with Nerd Out Sanctuary. I'm stupid. This show is stupid. It's just going to be stupid. Now I'm going to drink my not cranberry juice. Shut up, okay? Shut up. I'm not on my period. Get the fuck out of here. Stop with your comments. Anyway, Fargo. Going back to Fargo. But, so yeah, insurance salesman meets this hitman or contract killer. Some shit ensues. There's also this, we also follow another main character named Molly Salverson. She's a cop within this town of Bemidji, Minnesota, which is where all this fuckery takes place. And she's kind of the big, like, I'm going to solve this case type of character, like in the original Fargo. So, yeah. There's also another character named Gus Grimley, who's another cop in a neighboring town. He's played by Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son, if you've ever seen him in anything. He hasn't really been in too much, so probably not, but yeah. If you're unfamiliar with the Fargo film, one, go see it. It's phenomenal. But it's the main premise of that film is that it's a crazy story with ordinary people in it. Like, it's in, like I said, buttfuck nowhere, Minnesota, with ordinary people, but they get put in some extraordinary situations, and they're always very avoidable, and they always kind of snowball, which is a coincidence because it's always snowing in Minnesota, and there's snow fucking everywhere, and it's always so goddamn cold. So maybe that's some plot mirroring there. I never really thought about that. But there you go. And that's pretty much, I mean, obviously the exact story doesn't happen in season one of Fargo, but the same premise, ordinary people interact with some extraordinary people, and some fuckery ensues, and a lot of bodies, a lot of dead bodies show up, and a lot of money is usually involved, and, you know, it's pretty crazy. It, at times, when you think this show couldn't get crazier, it one-ups itself, so just be prepared for that. A big staple to this franchise is in the original movie. A subtitle would come up in the beginning of the film that this is a true story, you know, by honoring the dead, this is, you know, told exactly as it happened, but all the names of the actual people were changed. That, I mean, that's kind of what it's kind of I'm trying to think of, it's kind of a satire that way. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's fake. It's non-fiction. It's fiction, not non-fiction. It's fiction. None of this actually happened because there's no fucking way. It's too fucking insane. But, yeah, it just adds to the real dark comedy of the entire thing. Fargo, the film, is a pretty dark, fucked up comedy. If that's probably the best way I can describe it, with a sort of a thrilling type of mysterious aspect to it, which is also present in the first season of Fargo. The first season of Fargo is pretty similar to the film, I would say. They're pretty similar. I started watching the second season. The second season is a little more, I don't want to say Tarantino-y, but it's a lot different in tone. I'll talk about that when I finish it. I literally just started it last night. But, I don't know, maybe I won't. I don't know, we'll see. But this first season was phenomenal. I loved it. It was amazing. I'm kind of a sucker for the environment because I like the cold. I live in southwest Pennsylvania, so we get snow a lot. It's always very cold. I mean, not as much snow as Minnesota. Not as much snow as Minnesota. It gets really snowy up there. You gotta watch out for the roads. It's quite slippery. That kind of turned into some fucking Scottish or Irish accent. What the fuck am I doing? I'm such a weird fucking idiot who just likes doing impressions that are terrible. So, I'm still gonna do them. Alright? Oh yeah. I'm still gonna do them. I like doing impressions. It makes me feel good inside. So I'm gonna keep doing them. But anyway, so, yeah, the environment, the setting of the show really, I don't know, just adds something. I don't know, the environment's so cold, so like a lot of these characters are really cold. I don't know, just some about it I like a lot. If you're not into that, well, you know, fuck you. I don't, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to talk to you. I mean, again, I like cold weather. But even if you don't, it kind of adds to the anxiety and the thrilling aspect of the show. I don't know. It adds something more, especially in one particular episode where there's like a snowstorm. So that, I mean, it adds, it's its own character. So piggybacking off of that, just the regular characters are phenomenal. Like Molly Salverson, I forget the actress who plays her. Oh, Alison Tallman. I've never seen her in anything. She was the best part of the show. Maybe other than Billy Bob Thornton, who plays Lauren Malvo, or that, you know, mysterious fucking psychopath, who's awesome, by the way. You'll love him. You'll love Billy Bob Thornton. Lester Nygaard, Martin Freeman's character. I think this was Martin Freeman's best performance, to be honest. I've never seen Martin Freeman better. He's so good. He's so good in this show. Again, Colin Hanks as Gus Grimley is also phenomenal. All the side characters as well, like Molly's dad is amazing. I'm trying to think of some other like crew that come from Fargo. I mean, I should have talked about it, but it this doesn't take place in Fargo, North Dakota. The thing about Fargo is it's not taking place in Fargo, North Dakota. It's always somehow connected to Fargo, North Dakota. But it's always told in Minnesota. It's funny. It's just stupid and hilarious. That's what the show is. Like I said, all the side characters are amazing. They add so much to the show. The direction and just the tone of the show is so dark and it's so intense but hilarious at times. It's funny and freezing. You know, that's just what Fargo is, and it really stays true to that. So you got to give all the credit to the showrunner, who is I'm blanking on it, and I don't have it in front of me. So I know I'm letting all you down. I'm letting all you guys down. But yeah. I mean, all the credit goes to the showrunners. I mean, they did a phenomenal job with staying true to the tone and the atmosphere of the original Coen Brothers film, with its dark sense of humor and always having snow be everywhere and the characters being so interesting and sort of lovable at the same time, and also just being like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you doing this? Stop doing this type of characters. But yeah, you know, they do it justice. They do the franchise justice. So, I mean, I would definitely check Fargo out. If you like the original film, definitely watch it. Definitely check it out. If you like those like true crime type of stuff, check it out, because it kind of satirizes those. It kind of makes fun of those, because it just gets like, you know, in those true crime documentaries, something else like happens that really escalate things that just blows your fucking mind. Like, no way that actually fucking happened. And in this show, you're like, there's no way that would actually happen, because it didn't, because it's absolutely bonkers. It's bonkers, the entire show. And it keeps one-upping itself, so definitely see it. If you're into that dark humor type, the dark, fucked-up humor like I am, definitely see it. You'll love it. See the original film if you haven't first, and then watch this one. I mean, you don't have to. They're not related in any way, the stories. But it's just good to kind of... I mean, you should just watch Fargo, the original Coen Brothers film. Like, that's just... it's great. So, yeah. See it. See Fargo. It's great. I'm going to be watching it. I'm going to be watching the next coming seasons. Season 2 stars Patrick Wilson, and I really like him. Other people, too, are in it that I really like. But I might get back to you on that on the second season. Right now, I prefer season 1 to season 2, but again, I've only watched 3 episodes of the second season, so I'll be watching more tonight. But yeah, Fargo. It's good. See it. So, I'm going to transformation. Decepticons mobilize. I don't know. I like Transformers, guys. The Michael Bay movies aren't, not so much, but I don't know. Autobots, roll out. I don't know what I'm saying, okay? It's like, I looked at the time, and it's at 25 minutes, and I didn't expect that. I thought it was going to be, like, 40. So this is going pretty quickly, because I'm going to be talking about my final topic, which is a show that just came out with the first season on HBO, and it's Watchmen by created by Damon Lindelof. If you don't know who that is, he's the main guy responsible for Lost. He created Lost. He created some other stuff as well. I kind of want to see what else he's done other than Lost. Prometheus, Cowboys and Aliens, Star Trek Into Darkness, Tomorrowland. The Leftovers on HBO. I've never seen The Leftovers. I feel like I should, because I've heard good things about it. But anyway, back to Watchmen. So, my history with The Watchmen, as you see behind me, I'm currently rereading The Watchmen comic, and it is, in every sense of the word, one of the greatest pieces of entertainment you could read or digest. I mean, I think it's like in the top 100, like, pieces of literature of all time or something like that. I forget. It's on the back of the actual graphic novel that it tells you. It's the top 100 something. That includes a bunch of actual novels. I mean, I'll tell you now, the Watchmen comic is a graphic novel in every sense of the word. I mean, unlike a lot of other comic books, there is a lot of reading in The Watchmen, and it's a lot of very relevant political type of, I don't want to say satires, but it brings your notice to a lot of certain issues that are, pretty present. I mean, they're kind of blown out of proportion a little bit in the Watchmen universe, but I mean, they're still here in the actual real world. And it was incredibly relevant for when it actually did come out, because of the whole, burped a little bit, but again, with the whole Cold War and the whole, mutually assured destruction between us and Russia, and, gonna be firing nukes and all that bullshit. And it's relevant now as well with the whole Iranian stuff. I'm not going to be talking about that. I'm not going to be talking about politics, because politics kind of bores me a little bit. And I just think it's just an easy way for everyone to get fucking raging out and triggered and all of it. And it's just ridiculous and it's stupid, and I just don't want that on this podcast, because that's just not what I enjoy talking about. But I mean, again, Watchmen kind of puts you in that space, because it's so relevant and it's so dark, and you're just like, holy shit, that's exactly what's happening now. It's kind of ridiculous. So there's also a film, Zack Snyder's film adaption. The film pretty much mirrors the entire comic book beat for beat, other than a couple of major changes. Obviously, the very end is highly different. I'm going to spoil the Watchmen comic and the Watchmen movie. I'm not going to spoil the show, though, because that you should experience, and I'll tell you why. But yeah, the film at the very end, it's Dr. Manhattan that pretty much blows up New York and kills millions. And in the comic, Ozymandias, infamously transports a giant interdimensional psionic squid in the middle of New York and kills millions of people. So, I mean, I kind of understand Zack Snyder's take on it. I mean, Dr. Manhattan kind of killing a million people is a little bit more easy to digest than a gigantic psionic squid. But I kind of prefer the psionic squid a little bit. I mean, again, that's from a reader of the comic, but that's just me. So, but I get why it also kind of made sense. It was like, oh, Dr. Manhattan, you do it. Since he didn't stop Ozymandias anyway in the end. But again, I think the comic and the film are all way different. I mean, again, it's so hard to adapt a property like The Watchmen, because The Watchmen's so dense. I mean, it's a comic book, and it's not like incredibly, it's not an incredibly large storyline, but there's a lot in there. And there's a lot of ideas and a lot of things to think about and to really like I recommend slowly reading The Watchmen, because kind of like how I will recommend watching the show, because I think the show, it makes sense, you know, is a good complement to the comic rather than the film. I mean, the show itself, season one, Damon Lindelof's Watchmen, HBO's Watchmen, the show, season one, is a sequel to the Watchmen comic. It's not a sequel to the Watchmen film. So if that's one of your questions, yeah, it's a sequel to the comic. Sorry, not the movie. But anyway. Yeah, the comic's a lot more, it plays with a lot more bigger ideas that you can kind of sit with and digest over a longer period of time, since you're, you know, reading it, and rather than watching a 2.5 hour film, you know, you can't fit all of those ideas into one film and expect your audience members to be like, oh man, wow, like that's what's so special about the Watchmen comic. But again, I personally kind of do like the Watchmen film. That's how I watched the Watchmen film before I read the comic. Like, I watched the Watchmen film, I'm pretty sure, when it came out in theaters. I was pretty young. I don't really remember. I feel like I remember seeing it in the theater. I might have been too young, but I don't really know. But anyway, I think the film is overall enjoyable, but again, I think the comic is the better way to experience the Watchmen story. The film being a little bit more easy to digest, and I think more people will be okay with that rather than the comic. But again, you kind of you have to pick and choose which is, you know, best for you. I mean, it is what it is. But the comic's great. I mean, again, just some of the ideas that it plays with is just so, like, wow. Like, just Dr. Manhattan as a character is just insane to me, and it's just so, it blows my mind how Alan Moore, the writer and creator of the comic, Alan Moore, just developed a character like that, just like an omnipotent being who not only perceives time, but he doesn't manipulate it, but he experiences time all at once, which is, I mean, I don't know if that's even the right explanation for his powers. I mean, he can do pretty much everything. He's a god. He is God, pretty much. But yeah, like, again, like, there's moments in the comic where, you know, he's at one place, but he's also in another place or another time, which is, it's just so hard to comprehend, which makes it so much more devastating for some of the characters, especially, you know, Silk Spectre, who is in a romantic relationship. She's like, how can you be, you know, with me but also somewhere else? It's just, it's hard to comprehend. And there's other things that kind of confuse me. Like, there's a point in the Watchmen comic where he gets accused of, like, making people around him, like, get cancer, or causing other people around him to get cancer, and he acts like he's surprised by this, but again, he can perceive and experience time all at once, so I don't understand how he doesn't know about that, or maybe he does. I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's really hard. It's kind of crazy to think about. And he's also such a tragic character too. You know, he's this all-powerful, omnipotent character, but yet he can't really hold any relationships with anyone, because how can you? Like, how can we have a relationship when you're everywhere at once? You're not exclusively to me. So that's cool. But it's also really intense to think about that he's an American. Like, just imagine if he was like a Russian or something like that, or Middle Eastern or some crazy like Japanese or something like that. You don't know. It's so crazy, you know, because in the comic, we win the Vietnam conflict, not the Vietnam War, because it's technically not a war, it's a conflict. The Vietnam conflict, because of him, he won it pretty much for us, single-handedly. So, and that's even addressed, well, sort of addressed. I mean, it exists in the Watchmen show. So let's get into the show. I mean, I don't want to be talking about the comic all day, all episode, but let's talk about the series. The series itself is, like, it's its own thing. I'm pretty sure Alan Moore was kind of upset about the show happening. I'm pretty sure he didn't want any more adaptions of his content of Watchmen. So I think he was kind of upset by this show. But I think this show does the comic incredible justice, and I think it's a great sequel to the comic, in my opinion. And not only that, it's also just a good show to watch. It's just really good. It's very timely. It's very relevant to the show. I mean, starting off, you have these sort of terrorist group called the 7th Cavalry. They're kind of these, like, alt-right type of terrorists because of all these type of... They're just upset with the times and how, you know, there's sort of these reparations given to African-Americans who've suffered these, like, really graphic and dark times that are depicted in the show that, you know, our main character, Sister Knight, played by, what's her name? Oh, no! Why am I forgetting her name? Regina King. Yeah, that's her name. But, yeah. So, Sister Knight, she's a masked vigilante who works for the police because... mainly to stop the 7th Cavalry because something happened to her while she was a police officer that happened to a lot of police officers. And you'll find this out in the show. It gets explained to you eventually. I will say this, starting off, I was pretty confused on what was happening, and, like, information slowly gets to you over the episodes, and you're like, oh, okay, I get it now. This is making sense. But it takes some time. It's a show that you have to give time. I mean, again, I think the best episode is 5 and 6. So stick around to it until 5, at least. And if you still don't like it, you can check out. But I think, especially episode 6, is probably some of the best TV you'll ever see, ever. So, yeah. Again... the show, it mirrors the tone of the comic, very politically charged, very relevant to the times. The characters are very fleshed out and very deep and complicated. Sister Knight is amazing, and she's not even a perfect character. She does have some flaws, which I appreciate, but, I mean, she's also a badass. My favorite character, is Looking Glass. The character Looking Glass is phenomenal. He's amazing. He's called Looking Glass because he wears this, like, fucking... I don't know what it is. Cellophane or some bullshit? I mean, you find out why he wears the mask in the 5th episode, which is one of my favorite episodes because it's his, like, sort of backstory. They expand on his character a lot. But there's, like, a... like, he has kind of this special intuition of, he can tell when people are lying and what people are feeling. Like, there's a specific scene, I'm pretty sure it's in the first episode, where he, like, takes one of those sort of, like, southern, like, alt-right type of personality dudes into this, like, I don't know, orb thing. I don't know what it is, but he pretty much just... he, like, asks him a bunch of these questions. Imagine Blade Runner, you know, in Blade Runner 2049, where K goes back to the station and he, like, performs his baseline test. That's what it exactly is. I wouldn't be surprised if Damon Lindelof didn't watch Blade Runner 2049 and was just like, I'm putting that in my show. I'm doing that scene. And that's pretty much what he does. And it's an awesome scene. It's great. It's the actor is phenomenal. I forget what his Tim Blake Nelson plays Looking Glass. He's amazing. He's the best. He's, in my opinion, the best part of the show. But yeah, they take their time with like expanding the character and taking time with each one of the characters, and they do a great job. Let me get back on track here. The characters, they're unique. They're very complicated. You believe that they're in this universe, and this universe is, you know, happening. Don Johnson's also in the show, which is awesome. I mean, who doesn't love some Don Johnson? But yeah, Sister Knight's a badass. The fighting, the action scenes are surprisingly really awesome and really good. I mean, they don't happen a lot, but when they do, they're really good. So, yeah. I think, again, the show, I was kind of on the fence about it a little bit when it was starting up, mainly because I was so confused on what was happening. Again, when I was watching it, I hadn't read the Watchmen comic in years. I think I watched it when I was maybe in high school. Like, I think senior or junior year of high school I read it. And that was 6 or 7 years ago, I think. Maybe even 8. But, yeah, so I don't really remember too much from the comic other than the main stuff. So I came into it a little bit cold, a little bit rusty to the universe. So I was pretty confused at first. But over time, information gets to you and it makes sense. And you're like, oh, okay, all right, this is pretty awesome. I personally like the ending of the show as well. I mean, it leaves a little bit of ambiguity, which confuses me whether or not they're going to have a second season. I kind of don't really want them to, because I think they kind of wrap it up pretty good. I don't really know what they're going to do with a second season, if they do make a second season, but, I mean, I'll watch it. I'll be there. I mean, you won me over with the first. But again, with Damon Lindelof shows, I mean, especially Lost, I mean, the first season of Lost is one of the best seasons of television ever. Like, it's so good. So, I mean, I wouldn't surprise me if the more seasons of Watchmen happen, the worse it gets, but I'll be there. I'll watch it because I really like the first season. I think if you've read the comic and kind of on the fence about the show, watch the show. If you've seen the film and you liked it and you like that universe, watch the show. If you want to be into something that's relevant to today and makes you think about things and has some really cool ideas in it, and it's kind of sci-fi, kind of comic booky, but not at the same time, it's its own thing. It's hard to describe. Watchmen's a little bit hard to describe, but I just overall recommend it. I mean, if masked heroes, really, even if comic books aren't your thing, I'd still try it. I'd still give Watchmen a shot. You might really like it. But again, you kind of need to read the comic beforehand. Read the Watchmen comic. If you've never read the Watchmen comic and you've never been interested in it, pass on the Watchmen comic and you can pass on the show. But if you haven't and what I'm saying intrigues you a bit, if the Watchmen franchise has always kind of like piqued your interest a little bit, read the comic and watch the show because they're both phenomenal. I mean, obviously the comic is legendary. Obviously it's better than the show, but the show stands up to the comic relatively. You know, it gives it a really, really good shot, and it does really well, and in the end it does blow your mind at scenes. At some scenes you're like, holy shit, that's crazy. So yeah. Especially, again, I think I said this before, episode 6 is one of the best episodes of television I've ever seen. It's insane what they do. It's crazy. It deals with our main character kind of taking some sort of drug that is able to, like, reach into someone's memories and experience them. So it's really cool what they do. It's pretty insane. So, yeah. Watchmen. Watch it. Watch The Watchmen. Who is watching The Watchmen? A lot of people, I'm pretty sure. A lot of people are watching The Watchmen. I kind of want to see how it's rated a little bit, because I haven't checked it. So let's see here. I'm just going to Rotten Tomatoes. Watchmen. Come on. Here we go. Okay. I'm sorry, guys. I can't type. I can't work technology. I'm too retarded. All right. Watchmen Season 1. Credit. Wow. What a difference. The tomato meter is certified fresh at a 96%. An audience score of 54%, which is bad. I mean, it's not absolute shit, but it's kind of bad. But, I mean, critics loved it. I mean, again, don't go off of Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes is fucking meaningless, in my opinion. I mean, it's not meaningless, but I don't listen to it. I usually try to listen to people that I trust on either YouTube or just friends. So, don't strictly go off of Rotten Tomatoes, boys and girls. It's more than likely is meaningless, I think. I mean, come on. Some of my favorite movies are rated pretty fucking low, and it's just ridiculous. I want to see 1917. What did it get? Yeah, 1917 is 90%, 89%. Not a big difference. A 1% difference rather than a fucking 40% difference with Watchmen. But whatever. I recommend it. You know, if you're into things, kind of, if you've been watching my episodes and kind of getting a little bit of a gauge of where I'm at with my entertainment that I like to digest, and you kind of see, like, oh, I think I like the similar things that you do, try it out. You never know. You might like it. You might like it more than I do, or you might hate it. I mean, it could go either way. You could hate it. I could see why some people might dislike the Watchmen series, but whatever. Fuck off. Anyway, so, yeah, that's pretty much all I really wanted to talk about, guys. Hopefully, where are we on time before I get into my emotional message? Okay, 47 minutes is not terrible, but with that, guys, I'm done talking, and I just want to say that it's okay to not be okay. You know, I'll be the first one to tell you that life is incredibly hard, and I mean, from the things that I watch, that I consume, it provides a great escape for me, and it's a lot of really great life lessons, and it makes me a better person, and that's what those really rough times are there for. You know, again, I'm not saying everything bad that happens to you can be turned to a positive. I'm not saying that, because some things really, really fuck you up, and I know that. And people who know me also know that. So, I mean, again, life isn't fair. I'll be the first one to tell you, but I'm also going to tell you that it's not permanent. You know, just because today sucks doesn't mean tomorrow's going to suck, and it doesn't mean that next week's gonna suck. Push through, take it day by day, and try to make those shitty things that happen to you into positive things, as into learning experiences and getting better as a person, and just focus on being a good person and being nice to people, and because there's not enough of it out there, you know. I just, I keep saying when people don't know. Just be nice to one another and try to understand that people all have it rough. You know, everyone has their own shit that they got to deal with. So, you know, if your shit right now sucks, if it stinks, if your shit right now stinks, just know, like, it's not always going to stink. You know, you can flush it and let it go away. But it lingers. My shit lingers. Shit lingers. I'll be the first one to tell you that one. But anyway, what am I saying? Okay, guys, like, it's okay to not be okay. You can learn from it. You can get be better. And tomorrow's a new day. So just understand that. And I appreciate everyone watching and listening as well. I hope the audio quality is not absolute shit. I looked at getting a camera at Best Buy this weekend. It's definitely going to be pricey, so I'm probably going to be waiting on that a little bit. Probably around my birthday, I think I'm going to ask for people just to give me Best Buy gift cards, and then I'll buy an actual camera that looks good. And then I'll probably buy a mic as well with that, a better mic. So, yeah. Look forward to that end of March, maybe. We'll see. Like I said in the beginning of this episode, I'm going to be putting these out at my own pace when I want to, when I feel inspired to do these, because I don't want to be half-assing these. I want to have fun doing this. I don't want it to be a chore. Like, the point of this is not to have it be a job. Don't have it be work. And sometimes editing these episodes are a lot of work. I mean, it takes me on average around 6 hours to edit an entire episode. That's right, 6 hours to edit an entire episode. So I'd appreciate you giving me a like or download my podcast. Give me, comment. Give me some feedback. Tell me how shitty I am. Not only tell me how shitty I am, tell me how my shit can get better. I would appreciate that heavily. Give me some feedback. I would love it. I'd love, even if you just want to ask a question on just some random shit, I'll answer your questions. Clearly not a lot of people are watching this right now, so right now is when to take advantage of that. I'm paying attention. I'm checking every day for comments and whatever. So, but again, I also just appreciate you just clicking on the video and watching me or listening to me. I appreciate and love all you guys. And with that, I still haven't figured out how to end these. So I'm talking. I just keep talking because I don't know. I love being in this space. And yeah, I just don't want to leave. I don't want this to turn into work, which is why I want to do it at my own pace. And it's not going to. Again, I have some ideas of some things that I want to get going a little bit. So look forward to that. Look for that. Again, I might not come out with something for a while, maybe like coming 2 weeks, because this weekend I'm going to be doing something. I don't know. I might just record just an audio podcast when I'm in Maryland. I'll be in a hotel room and I might just bring my mic and just talk about something, but I probably won't record a video. I'll just upload it to my podcast. So if you're just watching on YouTube, this podcast is available on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Podcasts. So you can get me on there. If you're just listening to me, we're on YouTube, and I recommend watching the episodes because I put a lot of work into them. I put a lot of work into editing and graphics and making my set look nice. So I'd appreciate a view and a like and a subscribe as well. So with that, guys, thanks for watching again, and I'll see you guys on the next Nerd Out Sanctuary. Thanks, dudes and dudettes. Bye. Have a great rest of your day.